the show is sponsored by, in memory of Reza Shoshana Bat Chaim, who was a So your mom, who was a Holocaust survivor, and whose yahrzeit is on Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, Shalom Neshamah Tehiyeh Aliyah. And also by Ari and Gitti, Rosenthal and Mel, in gratitude to Hashem of all the blessings and the strength and faith to deal with life's challenges. So Bezrat Hashem should be all good. So today we start a new subject, which will be more halachic. But what I would like to do, what we did in the last 4 weeks, was mainly hashkafa, and how hashkafa influence, change, dictate halacha. That's what we did for the last almost 4 weeks. And today, we are going to try to deal with a very common issue, which is to employ someone who is not Jewish at your house. We know now there's obviously a tremendous change. Many people liked to. I mean, it used to be that in more, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if someone needed care, so they will go to an assisted living, even though now it's becoming again, it's back. But basically, many people like to stay home and to have just what they call a 24/7 care. Some of it is provided, by government and everything, Kopat Cholim, and some of it is provided privately, when you just pay for it. In America, it's a little bit of a different issue, but let's put it all together. And basically talking about when you employ someone who is not Jewish at your house, and I'm not talking just for 2 hours a day, I'm talking about live with you. That's basically what it is. What are the issues that comes up, especially when it comes to Shabbat? There's also about kashrut, and there's also about bishul akum, and we will talk about the bli neder maybe later on. But today what I want to do is to talk a little bit about sugiyot v'ilchot Shabbat, which means basically some topics that relate to Shabbat when it comes to having a non-Jewish employee in your house helping you out. So, first and foremost, I think all of us came from a community outside of Israel. And the usage of a Shabbos Goy is something that was very common, especially in our communities and in many homes. And sometimes it's very interesting, Dafka Jews from communities from outside of Israel are more acquainted or more familiar with the subject rather than Israelis that have no idea what it's talking about. However, even those who do know something, not everyone knows the halachot. So first and foremost, what we're going to do is that we will try to understand what are the reasons or what are the problems or what are the challenges that we have with having someone who's not Jewish in your house, especially for Shabbat. And then we'll deal also with the situation, which means sometimes you have a non-Jewish employee that works for you on Shabbat. What? Because of what I will call convenience. You have so many dishes, you don't have the time, you want to host a company, whatever, that's one thing, that's easy. What happens exactly when you're talking about a very elderly couple or elderly person who really needs the employee to do things for him that are chilul Shabbat? Might be the oraita from biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition. So how do we deal with that and how do we use it? Okay. So first and foremost, what we're going to do is we're going to try to understand the reasons of why can't you say everything you want to a non-Jew to do for you on Shabbat. I will just share with you, it's a personal story, but I think it's a funny story. I think it was in 2000. In Memphis, I was teaching in the yeshiva high school, and they had a trip to Gothenburg. It's a place with ski. So I don't like ski, but whatever. I had to go and we stayed for Shabbat and it was very warm in the room. And I think the temperature was set for whatever, it was very, very warm. So I saw someone who's not Jewish in the hotel and I asked him if he can come and help me. He says to me, sure. So I tell him, it's very hot here. He says, yeah, it is very hot. So I said to him, yeah, it's really hot here. He says, yeah, it's really hot. So I look at him again and I say, would you mind helping me with the remote control and the AC? He looks at me like I'm really, like, I never felt so stupid at that, you know, rather than that moment. And says to me, yeah, just here's the remote control and you just lower it. I said, where do you lower it? He says, take the remote control and I'll show you. I said, I can't really do that. He looks at me bichlal, like I was like from out of space. And then he did it, but it was very strange. Okay, so that's A. B, sometimes when you have a non-Jew who you employ, he knows so much that he can read your mind, which is also might be a problem. Is that too hot here, right? It's too dark. It's too light. It's too that. So you want me to do this thing for you, right? That's also a problem. When they know too much, it's not good. When they don't know anything, it's not good. So how do you find the point of balance when... Because also, let's just add one more thing. We also understand... You know what? Let me take a step back. Before we go even into the reasons and the te'amim, the reasons for why you can't say whatever you want to a non-Jew, to do for you, we also need to understand a few things. There is the halakha, and there is what we call the, I don't want to call it the atmosphere, I want to call it the spirit of Shabbat, I think Ruach HaShabbat. You know, in America, for example, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, was very much against Sha'on Shabbat, Shabbos clock. And why? Israel, every Israeli have a Sha'on Shabbat since his bar mitzvah. Okay, you know, why, what is that? In America there are more frum, here there are more frum, here there are less frum. It's nothing about frumkeit. It's about where is that going to lead. Which means that Moshe Feinstein was very, very skeptic that it's going to help. He thought it's going to lead to what? Oh, there is a great game Friday night. Let's turn on the TV with the Shabbat clock. Let's have a party with the Shabbat clock. And in Israel there was less concern. So you see that sometimes we will use a halachic permission or not based on what? On the situation or my prediction for future consequences to whatever I'm going to say. That's A. B. We also know a non-Jew is not obligated to keep Shabbat. Not only that he's not obligated to keep Shabbat, he can't keep Shabbat. He must not keep Shabbat, all Shabbat. So the idea is that why do I care? Why not to ask him to do things for you? So, it's really very much appropriate for our Shabbat, Parasha Vayetchanan, that talks about Shamor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho, and we know that we have a component there which is very strange. Leman Yanuach, Avdecha Va'amatcha Kamocha, Veshorcha V'chamorecha, which means what? The animals and the slaves and everyone needs to rest. And obviously the question is, why? I can understand perhaps if it's your animals, for example. Okay, because it's your property and whatever. But someone who is totally not in the parsha of keeping Shabbat, why can't you ask him or her to do things for you on Shabbat? So that's where the point of our conversation begins, and we will see the reasons. Before that, we have a question. So you will see, and we will see it through the ages as well, that there is an indirect hint. There is a hint. There is indirect commandment. And then there is what we call davar shebeshtika. And there is a fourth thing that he does things for himself that benefits you as well. For example, you know what, let's just, even before we start the reasons, I'll throw some questions so you will get excited, okay? You have someone who's not Jewish in your house, is your employee, employee. And he, you know, his job, for example, after Friday night, you had, I don't know, 40 people for Friday night dinner, and you wanted to serve in China, and, you know, in plates, nice plates, whatever it is. His job is to wash it. Can he turn on the dishwasher? Okay, I'm not looking for answers yet. For himself, his job is to wash dishes. Can he do it instead of by hand to put it in the dishwasher? A. B. You forgot the Shaon Shabbat, okay? And the guest left at midnight, and you have Shaon Shabbat until 3 o'clock in the morning. You thought that they would stay more. They didn't like the food and they wanted to leave, okay? So, can you ask him, or can he do it by himself? And it obviously benefits you. It saves you, what, 3 hours of electricity. So, here I'm throwing just a few things there that he cooked for himself. Okay? He cooked for himself. Oh, you know what? No, let's leave that. He is your helper. And you needed medication and you didn't get it before. Can he go to a pharmacy and get it for you? Okay? I can come up with a list of questions that we will touch on them. We will try to understand the principles first. And then to see how the rabbis also reacted to different situations. Okay, one more and then we need to stop. No, it doesn't need to be your employee. No, it does not need to be a new employee. Just because I put an employee just because A, he becomes accustomed to your mishigas, that's A. And B, there is a great access. The thing is that it doesn't need to be your employee. Any non-Jew who is not keeping Shabbat. Okay. We should stop. Okay, so come the Bet Yosef. And the Bet Yosef brings, and that's why I quoted the Bet Yosef of Yosef Karo in his interpretation on the tour, in Or HaChaim Siman Resh Mem Daled, the first source on the page. Katav Smag, b'mitzvot lo ta'aseh, so it's a Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, says Tanya b'mechilta, it says in the Mechilta, Kol melacha lo ya'aseh bahem, לא תעשה אתה ולא יעשה חברך ולא יעשה הגוי מלאכתך. In the Mechilta it says, כל מלאכה, every work, לא יעשה בהם, will not done with them. The Mechilta understands it's like that. You shouldn't do, your friend shouldn't do it, and even the non-Jew should not do your work. Now, this is very important to be very meticulous in the language of the Mechilta. It says your work. If it's his, even though it benefits you, it seems to be that it's not under those restrictions. Mashma mikan, you can learn from here, she'asur liYisrael, that a Jew is not allowed to do what? Lehaniach legoy, la'asot melachto, ben b'yom tov, ben b'shabbat, de'oraita. That from a biblical point of view, you are not allowed to let the non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbat or on Yom Tov. Now, when I'm saying you're not allowed to allow him to do it, obviously you cannot ask for him to do it, that's for sure, but you also should tell him, don't do it for me. You should be mochen. You should rebuke him. If he does it once, you tell him, I don't want you to do it, and that's from the Oraita, according to the Mechilta. Aval. אם עשר לו הישראל המלאכה מערב שבת, but if I gave this job to the non-Jew on Friday before Shabbat, מותר, you are, the goy is allowed to what? To do the work on Shabbat for me, ובלבד שיהיה בביתו של goy כאשר ביארנו. But it needs to be in his house, not in my house. So for example, one of the most popular things, you drop your cleaners, okay, with a non-Jewish cleaner, okay? And you drop it on Friday. Can he do the laundry and you can pick it up on Sunday? They don't open on Sunday, but let's say you can come and pick it up on Sunday. Answer? If you drop it on Friday, the answer based on this Mechilta is yes, you are allowed to. Why? Even though he's doing that for me, I gave it to him before Shabbat. It's his work, he wants to get the money. He's doing that on his own thing. I might add to it, by the way, that you should give him enough time that he could have done it before Shabbat. Now, it's becoming a little tricky, and I'll tell you why. We all know, for example, with cleaners, they have two set times. Let's say at 9 o'clock, if you bring things before 9, this is one shift. If you bring another all the things before 5 in the afternoon, they take it for the next day. Meaning, if you drop it before 9, you will get it the same day. If you drop it after 9, you will get it only tomorrow. So if I drop my cleaning, my cleaners, whatever, at 5:15, I know for sure that what? That they are going to do it on Shabbat. Now, I don't need it today. I don't even need it tomorrow. I'll pick it up on Wednesday. I'm leaving town, but I just drop it there. Is that something that you also consider as they did it on their own? I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbat. They could do it Monday, Tuesday. I'll pick it up Wednesday. I'm telling them, I'll pick it up Wednesday. Would that be okay? You see how involved it becomes, but I don't want to confuse you. Until now, it seems to be what? I'm not allowing to allow the non-Jew to do things for me on Shabbat. However, if I gave it to him My walk before Shabbat, it's not my problem. Omnam, yesh lomar, shehi asmachta be'alma. שאם הייתה מן התורה, לא היו חכמים מתירים לעשותה אף בביתו של גוי, ואף מסרה מערב שבת. ולשון לא יעשה הכתוב בתורה מוכיח קצת שהדרשה גמורה. So the Bet Yosef is really has some hesitations. He says, on one hand, you told me that what? That this is a biblical prohibition. But he says, if it's a biblical prohibition, how could you give it to the goy before Shabbat and allow him to do it on Shabbat for you? Or if it was in his house, it's fine. What's the difference? If it's deoraita, it should be asur everywhere. Therefore, he says, you know what? It seems to be probably only asmachta. What is asmachta? It's really rabbinic, and we have a pasuk that can back it, but it's not the source for it. But then the Bet Yosef says, but you know what? It seems to be like it's deoraita. So what do we have until now? First, the source that the Bet Yosef brings in the name of the smag is what? Lo ye'as kol melacha lo ye'ase bahem. That any work could not be done with them. However, we do see some kind of doubt. And the doubt is that it seems to be that it's probably not a biblical prohibition. Why? Because of all the exemptions that we have. That if the work is being done in the house of the non-Jew, or if you gave it to him on Friday, that he is allowed to continue to do the work for you, it seems to be only the Rabbanan. So there is an educational question about doing
right,
that.
Right.
There is, you know, what message do you want to send? And also there is but sometimes you might consider it. So I will put it like that. A Jewish baby is not a Shabbat boy.
Good.
Let's put it like that. What can be done in certain cases, that's a different thing. Okay. Comes the Rambam. The Rambam comes along in Ilchot Shabbat Perek Vav Halacha Aleph and says the following. Second source on the page. Asur lomar legoy la'asot lanu melacha b'Shabbat. You are not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do for us work on Shabbat. Af al pi she'eino metzuveh la Shabbat. Even though the non-Jew is obviously is not obligated to keep Shabbat. Ve'af al pi she'amar lo mikodem ha-Shabbat. And even though you told him that before Shabbat, even if you told the non-Jew on Friday, you know what, on Shabbat I will need you to do some work for me, you are not allowed to get him. ואף על פי שאינו צריך לאותה מלאכה אלא לאחר השבת. And even if you don't need the job for what? For Shabbat. Only for Sunday, Monday, you're still not allowed to what? To ask the non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbat. ודבר זה אסור מדברי סופרים. The source of the prohibition is what? Is only דברי סופרים, it's rabbinic. And why? כדי שלא תהה שבת קלה בעיניהן ויבואו לעשות בעצמן. The reason for that is what? That if you will allow a non-Jew to do things for you on Shabbat, you, the Jew, will start looking at Shabbat as you can really do it. And then when the non-Jew is not around, what would you do? You just do it by yourself. Because you will be so accustomed that, you know, every time you can adjust the air conditioning and the lights, so you will go ahead and what? And do it by yourself. Now, this is an interesting thing because you would think that with all the respect, you know, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to turn on the AC because it's hot now. I will, you know, wait for the non-Jew. But the Rambam says no. If you have it again and again and again every Shabbat, you will get used to it and then you will do it by yourself when the non-Jew is not around. That's the Rambam. The Eichal Yitzchak said the following. ולכאורה, and this is going to ask the question that we asked. לכאורה יש להבין לפי המסבירים איסור אמירה לגוי משום שמה יבוא לעשות בעצמו. איך נחוש שהאמירה יבוא לידי איסור סקילה חמור עליו? He asked exactly the same question and the same faces that you all did in the second row. Like, what's the connection? Like, okay, I have a non-Jew since I was a child in my house, and I used to tell him to turn the AC. If he's not around, I'm telling you, I am not going to do it by myself. I still know the difference between telling a non-Jew and doing that by myself. Come on. I think that if I'm going to touch the switch, you know, God is going to send the thunder and kill me, God forbid, on the spot. Right? I'm not going to do that. So says the Shutei Chal Yitzchak. אבל העניין הוא פשוט, שחזל בחוכמתם הרבה לא חששו אלא משום הרבים, שהרי זהו הפסד גדול להפסיק כל המלאכה ועסק במשך מעת לעת ויותר. He says, the rabbis, they knew the hearts and the minds of the masses. You basically tell a Jew, for the 25 hours, you cannot contribute anything. You cannot do anything. It's hard for people. ואם היה מותר על ידי נוכרים, and if it was allowed to tell a non-Jew to do things for you, היה הדבר מתפשט, והיו רוב המלאכות והעסקים נעשים בשבת. And people will continue on to do their business. My store will still be open. My things will be open because, you know, I don't do that. The non-Jew does it for me. והייתה מתבטלת אווירת השבת. The spirit of Shabbat will basically evaporate. וממילא אתה נעשית קלה בעיני המון. And when everything is so light, people start what? Dismissing the laws of Shabbat. כשבתי החרושת עובדים כבכל, ובתי המסחר והעסקים פתוחים, וממילא הייתה הקדושה של שבת נפגמת והחומה נפרצת.
Even with going doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to the store, but it doesn't look, it doesn't...
And why? Because I want to buy, there is something on sale on Shabbat. Okay? I want to buy it. What do? I'm going to send my goy to buy at your store that is run by a goy, okay, to get what I want, but I can't, but I told the goy, the non-Jew, and you told your non-Jew to open the store. Okay, so what do we have? A big balagan. Basically, we don't have a spirit and atmosphere of Shabbat. Now, by the way, there is a very interesting discussion. I'm not sure we're going to deal with it, but, you know, everything now, not everything, but a lot of things are on the internet. There is a major question now in Halakha, can you leave your internet store open on Shabbat? Which is very interesting. This is not a non-Jew. This is... It's me, but it's not me, it's the machine, it's the computer, everything is a program. Basically, do I need to stop it? There are two questions. A, can I leave it open? B, is there any obligation for me, if you say that I can't leave it open, to actively stop it? And when I stop it, the damage that I cause for myself is tremendous. Okay? So the thing is those are the questions of the future. By the way, all those questions are going to be huge. All the hotels will have no manual keys. Forget it. When you go into the door, there is going to say, hi, Mr. Ross, so-and-so. Everything. There is sensors, motion sensors, and voice recognition. There are many rooms today that you need to leave the card in order to have the light and the AC and the TV, whatever you want, it's all sensors. So basically, that's going to obviously, you have the smart cards that you open the door, don't open the door, whatever it is. Everything will change. The Halacha is dealing with that. There's no question the Halacha is dealing with that. So, what the Heichal Yitzchak says, he says it's not the Oraita, it's rabbinic, but the rabbis knew the nature of people. And when people can accomplish what they want with someone else, Shabbat becomes like, it dissolves. Lo yishbotu. Yom v'layla lo yishbotu. Day and night they should not rest. That's what the Gemara learns it for.
But the Goy should not rest.
Mm-hmm. Not rest on Shabbat. Yeah. He can have rest on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Especially with converts. On their way to become converts, they need to keep Shabbat, but one thing they need to do, you know, because they keep everything besides one thing. Because they can. Goy she Shabbat chayav mita. Why do you go far? You have many Jews who own hotels and malls, and they are all open on Shabbat, run by non-Jews. How do we do that? Okay, how do we exactly do it? That's the question. The malls, the hotels, everything, restaurants. I mean, you can, and this is where the Eichal Yitzchak, exactly, that's what the Eichal Yitzchak says. He says, that's what bothers me. That's what the rabbis basically had in mind. That if you will allow using or asking non-Jews to do things for you, there will be no Shabbat. You will not do anything. But can you imagine? How many times businesses run into troubles and whatever problems, the non-Jew will come to you on Shabbat and say, look, there is this problem, and you start thinking about your business, and you might even what? Go to your business in order to fix the problem. So obviously we understand that on a big scale, we obviously have a problem. But don't forget, you are talking about also two things. Here we are talking also about the profile or the nature of the Jewish state. What you are talking about now, it's the same problem, but on a much larger and national scale. Here we're not talking just about a community that reflects on individuals. We are not talking about what's the avira in Shabbat in the Jewish state. So that's itself. Now, I thought you were going to ask something even more modern. Driverless cars, autonomy cars, okay, that we will have. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time now. It's expensive, the insurance, all of it. But there are going to be that. And you know what? Like you have an Uber, you can get an Uber probably on Friday. There's no Uber here, right? But whatever, you will have some kind of an Uber, okay, that you can order on Friday. He will come to you on Shabbat, driverless car, pick you up. The doors will open by themselves, will close by themselves, all motion sensors, and basically you don't need to say anything. It will be all programmed. It will bring you. It will take you. Look, the technology, there are almost no limits. The question: how quick the halacha is going to respond to it? Because it's going to come. No question in my mind. I stayed, we went to Poland, our shul, and we stayed in a hotel that had all the problems that I mentioned to you before. No, we didn't have a driverless car come to pick us up. But in the room itself, all the problems I mentioned here, I think maybe lemaet echad, maybe one was not applied on that room. So you need to deal with it. Yes. Yeah, you can, but when you go to public, you will have grammar. Tzomet will be very busy. Machon Tzomet, all the grammar, the indirect thing that they create, and also, I mean, when you're talking about public places, they want to save energy. Okay. You will go to a room, hotels, and all of that. In shuls now, they have, I mean, almost all the lights today. I will put it like that. When you build a new place, a new shul, the recommendation is motion sensors. Because it saves tremendous amount of energy. Because when you go into the room, there is light and it goes slowly. And then when you leave the room, immediately it turns off. No, it goes slowly just because they want to know how much time you're going to spend in the room. That's why it's all energy saver, basically. So I'm not going to go into all the technology. I just wanted to bring some of those questions because it comes really from the reasons. Yes. So look, I'm not going to make a psak for someone that I don't know. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other people. It depends. Some people will not rely at all on Maalit Shabbat. Some people think it's the best thing after the sliced bread. Some people think that they will use Maalit Shabbat only if they are on the 15th floor, but if it's on the 3rd floor, they will not. Some people will say it's great for people who need it, but for people who don't need it, preferable to go to take the stairs. Some people will tell you that if there is a non-Jew, that his job or her job is solely to push buttons, that's her job. She's not doing that. You are obviously a beneficiary. But she's not doing that for you, she's doing that for the $8 that she gets, you know, every hour, sitting in a chair and pushing buttons. So you can say, I just said five, I didn't say five, the fifth floor, I just said five, she understood it by herself. Okay, you have, look, if you want to outsmart the system, you will always find a way to outsmart the system, and if not, now, everyone has a question, I'm sure, because I know it's a topic that will bring questions, but let's try to, again, go back to the principles, to the fundamentals. Okay. Rashi. מה שאסור, מסכת עבודה זרה דף ט"ו. מה שאסור לישראל לומר לעובד כוכבים, עשה לי כך. So he says, the reason of why a Jew cannot tell a non-Jew, do for me this or that in on Shabbat, משום ממצוא חפצך ודבר דבר. In Yeshayahu, it says, ממצוא חפצך ודבר דבר. דיבור אסור. The reason, as we know, from this pasuk in Yeshayah, we know many things. We know that you need to change your clothes on Shabbat, that you can't wear the same thing that you wear during the week and on Shabbat as well. You know that you need to your thoughts should be different, the way you walk on Shabbat should be different, and also the way you talk on Shabbat should be different from the way you talk on during the week, which is also to instruct people to do things for you. So according to Rashi, it's nothing to do with the spirit of Shabbat or if it's Deoraita, it's really from the prophets, it's from Yeshayahu, and it's basically what? That the rabbis said, the dibur asur. It's really some kind of I don't want to say gzerat ha-katuv, it's to distinguish Shabbat from all the other days, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do things for you. That's according to Rashi. Now, there is one more reason that is based on the Gemara in Shabbat Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara said the following. By the way, this Mishnah and Gemara are fascinating. I have a class on them, but it will take probably 5 hours. This class, it's a long class, so I'm not going to deal with the other issues that this Mishnah brings now. I will just take what I need for this class. The Mishnah said the following: Mishir Shich Baderech. It's dark. It's Friday. You come back from your business trip, and you're riding a donkey. That's what you do. You don't take a business class flight, okay? You are riding a donkey. And it's already Friday afternoonish, and it's becoming almost dark, and it's now becoming dark, and it's almost Shabbat. Noten kisol anochri. So you give your wallet to whom? To the non-Jew who walks with you, or if you see someone. Now, the rabbis require that the Jew will have a tremendous amount of what? Of faith. Emunah. To give your wallet to now, to not only a non-Jew, you give it even to another person. To separate myself from my wallet that I filled up from a hard work for the last 4 months that I was away from home. Talking about ancient times. It's difficult.
And the credit cards.
But yeah, that's true. So that's why you need to have an Apple Pay. You know, whatever they call it here. Okay. So, Noten kisol anochi ve'im enim anochi. And let's say there is no non-Jew with you. You are walking to your Jewish town, and you know there is no anochi. Menicho al hachamor. So you put your wallet on the donkey, and you lead the donkey somehow back to town. Igia lechatzer hachitzona. So when you get into the city and you get to the yard where it's more protected, Noten et hakelim hanitalim b'Shabbat. So you take all the vessels that you can move on Shabbat. So if you had vessels on the donkey, so the things that you can use on Shabbat, you can take with you, and the things that don't, what do? You just basically undo the ropes, and everything that was loaded on the donkey just falls on the ground, and you know it's protected. No one is going to take it because you're not allowed to move things like that. Okay. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Gemara says, "My tam asharu le'rabanan le'meitef kisel anochri." What's the reason that the rabbis allowed the Jew to give the wallet to the non-Jew? Basically, you are asking the non-Jew to do what?
Use it.
No, not to use it. To carry it for you from outside of town into town. And says Rashi, "Ve'arei hu shlucho lisa'enu," which is your agent. Now, take a look what the Gemara says. Kim leu le rabanan, the ein adam amid atzmo al mamono, ilo sharet le'ati le'etuye arba amot b'rushut arabim. It's amazing, it's a fascinating thing. The Gemara says, how can you give it to the non-Jew? He's your agent. Answer, there is no any other solution. If you tell the Jew, you can't bring your wallet with you, you need to just drop it here and go to town, he will look at you and say, Rabbi, when was the last time you earned a dollar in your life? Right? He's not going to listen to you. Kim lehu lerabanan. What is kim lehu? They know that ein adam ma'amid atzmo al mamono. You cannot tell the Jew, put your wallet here, and you know what? You will pick it up Motzei Shabbat, no one will take it. Bemet.
Yes.
Try it out. You know, Rabbi, try it out by yourself. Therefore, they allowed him to what? To give him to the non-Jew. So, first and foremost, we see from this Gemara that this is Isur de Rabbanan. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. Because if it was a Deoraita, it was Deoraita. So first, it's a biblical thing. And what's the reason? The reason that we would think that you shouldn't do it is why? Is because he looks like he's your agent. If that's true, we now have a different perspective on our question. Why can't you tell an non-Jew to do things for you? Answer, it looks like he's your agent. Which means people know, it's the Jew is doing that to some extent. Therefore, we found out basically few reasons. A, we have the smug that says it might be biblical prohibition from kol melacha lo ye'aseh bahem. Then we saw that what? That it's really in order not to dismiss Shabbat and to make it so light so people will start dismissing it. Third was that we don't want to ruin the spirit of Shabbat. And the fourth one is what? From Yeshayahu, Vedaber Davar. And the fifth one is what? It looks like it is your agent. Okay. So the Avne Nezer, his name is Rabbi Avraham Burenstein, was the Av Beit Din of Sochatchov in the 19th century. And he said the following, that's the last source on page number one. Dehine, be'amira lego yesh shnei isurim. There are two prohibitions in telling a non-Jew to do things for you on Shabbat. Aleph, the first one, is mishum vedaber davar, which means this is a prophetic prohibition from Yeshayahu that your speech on Shabbat should be different than the speech on during the week. Asheni, mishum shagoy nasa shluchot shel Yisrael. The second one is that he becomes what? Your agent. Vine, letam harishon, afilu omer lo b'Shabbat, la'asot achar Shabbat, asur. Ach kshomer lo b'erev Shabbat, la'asot b'Shabbat, azil atam harishon, ach mitum, ach mishum atam hasheni, asur b'ze. So what Avne Nezer does is that he tries to understand the nafkamina, the ramification between the two major reasons. He says that there are two major reasons. The first reason is what is vedaber davar, that your speech on Shabbat should be different, and the second one is look like your agent. So, in the case that I told the non-Jew to do something for me already on Friday, so the first reason do not apply. Friday morning is still what? Like any other day during the week, I can tell the non-Jew to do whatever I want, whatever I want to ask. But according to the second reason, that he looks like is your agent, obviously it would still be what? Asur. And then there is another nafkamina. וכשאומר בשבת לעשות לאחר השבת אסור רק מטעם הראשון, וכשאומר בשבת לעשות בשבת יש שני טעמים. Now, if you told the non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat, to do it after Shabbat. For example, you tell the non-Jew on Shabbat, go ahead and get for me, please, from the pharmacy after Shabbat, this and that. So according to the first reason, you're still not allowed to say to him. Why? Because your speech should be different. According to the second reason, if he goes Motzei Shabbat to pick up from the pharmacy my medication, he can be viewed as my agent. I don't care. Motzei Shabbat is already Motzei Shabbat. And the only case where both reasons applies is when? On Shabbat. Very good. When you ask a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat. So then according to the first reason, because you told him on Shabbat, it's a problem of the speech. And according to the second reason, where it looks like he's your agent, it's also a problem because he's going to do it on Shabbat. Okay. Everyone is with me? Yeah. Good. Okay. Now, we see that despite the fact that we have so many reasons why you can't, we're obviously going to see
why you can.
Okay. So, we will start from from something that is very difficult to something that is less difficult, or vice versa. Okay. The Gemara said in Masechet Gittin, that's the second source on page number 2. The Gemara in Gittin in Dafchet Amud Bet said the following: "Va'kones sadeh b'Suria. If someone buys or purchases a field in Syria, kekoneh b'parvarei Yerushalayim. It's like I bought in Jerusalem, in the suburbs of Jerusalem. What does that mean? That it's expensive. I don't know. Lemay ilcheta. So what's the halacha? Or why do I care if I buy? Yeah, I don't know. Anyone here wants to buy anything in Syria now? I don't think so. But the what? It's pretty cheap now, probably. Yeah. By the way, you buy it today, you're not sure it's going to be there tomorrow, but it's cheap. So the thing is that, so the Gemara says, why do I need to know that? Lema hilcheta, what's the halacha that comes out from it? So Amar Rav Sheshet, lomar shekotvim alav uno, v'afilu b'Shabbat. It means that what? That you can write the contract even on Shabbat. Huh? So the Gemara says, b'Shabbat al kadata? How can you say that it's... I can write the contract between me and the person who sells me the field on Shabbat? כדאמר רבא אומר לעובד כוכבים ועושה, חנמי אומר לעובד כוכבים ועושה, ואף אגב דאמירה לעובד כוכבים שבות, משום יישוב ארץ ישראל לא גזור רבנן. So Gemara says that it doesn't mean that you go ahead and write it, but rather you tell a non-Jew, you tell a non-Jew to write for you the contract, and that will be okay. Now how? Because telling a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat is Shvut, which means Isur de Rabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition, and because of Yishuv Eretz Israel, because of the mitzvah of dwelling in the land of Israel, it overcome what the rabbinic restriction. So first and foremost, you do see that this Gemara feels that Syria belongs to
Eretz Israel,
right? Because Akoneh Sadeh B'Suria, Kekoneh V'Parvari Yerushalayim, and the same thing that you are allowed to do in Israel, you are allowed to do in Syria. So, so what party are they going to join? I don't know, they can make up their own party.
Yeah.
Yamina from Yamina from Yamina, and take another right, right? Okay, so no, that's also good. Now, joking aside, this is something very interesting. So even though you are telling them to him on Shabbat, you are finalizing the contract on Shabbat, that's A. B, you do the purchase on Shabbat, which is also interesting. You are allowed to tell the non-Jew to do it for you, and why? Because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So now, as a halachic person, the first thing that comes to mind is, I have a question. What's my question? Is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is the dwelling and settling in the land of Israel, is Midoraita, question number one. B, if it's Deoraita, are there any other mitzvot Midoraita that I can ask a non-Jew to do for me? If it's the Rabbanan, is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is the only mitzvah mid the Rabbanan that will be overrides by that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do for you, or many mitzvot the Rabbanan I can do? Meaning, is that a prototype? Or is that just an example that and everything else falls under this category? Or this is the only thing that is mutar? Okay. Lishmor nafshecha me'od, it's a mitzvah klali. It's a general commandment. Yeah. So Rashi says, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi defines Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in a very interesting way, which, by the way, it's a different story. It says, Legaresh ovdei kochavim v'leyashev Yisrael ba. To expel idol worshippers from Eretz Israel and to dwell in it. You need to do two things. So for example, if you buy an apartment, and you didn't need to kick any idol worshipper from the place, you didn't really fulfill Yishuv Eretz Israel according to Rashi. Ramban has a different view, but this is not the shiur today. However, let's take a look at this Tosfot. This Tosfot is a very important Tosfot, and it says the following. אף על גב דאמירה לעובד כוכבים שבות משום יישוב ארץ ישראל לא גזרו רבנן. So we said that even though the telling a non-Jew to do something for you, it's the רבנן, when it confront with יישוב ארץ ישראל, with dwelling in the land of Israel, so we are allowed the non-Jew to write this contract for you. Take a look. אבל משום מצווה אחרת, לא היינו מתירין אמירה לעובד כוכבים במלאכה דאורייתא. It says, but don't think. He says that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is what? Male is Deoraita. It's biblical. Which is interesting.
Biblical.
But don't think that because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is okay, you can now say that every other biblical mitzvah can be overrided by a need, and therefore you can tell a non-Jew to do things for you. It's only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How do I know? Says Tosfot. כדמוכח בפרק הדר אין אירובין, הרו ינוקה, דישתפיך חמימה, there was a baby that was about to have a brit, and the hot water that I boiled on Friday spilled, and they believed that they had to do the brit milah and they needed to have hot water. Why? I don't know, maybe to purify, not to purify, to clean the instruments, or maybe after that to wash the baby. I don't know exactly for what. Atu lekame de Rava. So they came to Rava and they said, look, we had a brit, or we are having a brit, it's not so clear in the Gemara,
and there is no hot water, what should we do? So he says, Amar lehu, Rava said to the people who ask him, Shailu le'ime, ask the baby's mother, Itzricha nechaimu le'agav ime. So he said, Rava says, go and ask his mommy, the baby's mother, if she needs hot water, we can what? We can boil it for her, because she is a chola, and by the way, we will take the water for that was done for her, we'll use it for the baby. ולכאורה משמע דביום המילה היה שהיו צריכים לחממו כדי למולו. It says, it seems to be that the case was on the day of the brit, that they needed hot water, וקודם המילה היה, and it was before they circumcised him. דהי לאחר המילה מסוכן, ובלא אם הם מחללים עליו את השבת. And because if it was after the brit, the baby himself would be considered as what? As a mesukan, someone who is in danger, and we don't need to ask his mommy if she needs hot water. We know for him that he needs hot water. ועל ידי עובד כוכבים העירייה, אתם כדי פירש אתם בקונטרס, וכן פירש רח, כדי אמרינה בפרק מפנים. And when Rava told them that they can boil water if the mother needs it, it obviously didn't say that the Jews can boil the water. Who could boil the water? The non-Jew. ועד אמר אתם לאל בעיד החינוך הדשתה פי חמימה ואמר לרב הנאית ולחמימה מגובי תאומית כולה על ידי עובד כוכבים ודאי איסורה דרבנן שרי בחצר שלו ירבו משום מצוות מילה אבל איסורה דאורייתא כגון לחמם לו חמין אסור. So he said that really you can learn from that case that we will not allow to violate a biblical mitzvah with a non-Jew. And how do I know that? That you do what? That you had to what? To ask the mother. Now, if the mother needs the water because she is a mesukenet, it's become not biblical, it's become pekuach nefesh. And when there is a pekuach nefesh, you can obviously save her. By how? By asking a non-Jew to what? To boil water for her. So that's where the Tosfot finds a proof to say the what? That Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the only mitzvah that you are allowed to violate Shabbat for by asking a non-Jew to do something for you, but with all the rest of them, you cannot. You find one. Unless there is really a time of sakanat nefesh, pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh, obviously, not only that a Jew needs to do it, a Jew must do it, and it should be gdolei Yisrael bedavka. Okay. And then, Tosfot continues on, and he says, ואין ללמוד מכאן היתר לומר לעובד כוכבים להביא ספר בשבת דרך קרמלית. זה לא דמי, זה דווקא משום מילה די גוף הדחי השבת התירו. So he said, you know, let's say I forgot my סידור in my house. And there is no רשות הרבים, there is no public domain, but there is no עירוב. So it's considered, it's a קרמלית. קרמלית is not רשות הרבים, it's not רשות היחיד, there is איסור דרבנן to bring from רשות היחיד to קרמלית, from רשות הרבים to קרמלית, and vice versa. But it's Isur de Rabbanan. So you would think, okay, but maybe Brit Milah, I saw that what, that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you in Mitzvah de Rabbanan. Maybe I should say that now every time that I need it, when there is only a Rabbanan, I can ask the non-Jew, and so even that not. According to Tosfot, there are two fundamentals that we need to remember. A, the only biblical commandment that you are allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for you is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The only thing is the Rabbanan is Brit Milah. And why? Because Brit Milah, it's if the eighth day falls on Shabbat, you are allowed to what? To violate Shabbat for Brit Milah. So obviously, you are allowed to violate Shabbat in the Rabbanan for something that happens before or after the Brit. But really, mainly before. But any other mitzvah that never overrides Shabbat, you are not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for you anything, even if it's only what? Rabbinic. Umiyu, and this is very important, בהלכות גדולות משמה, דאפילו איסורה דאורייתא שרעי על ידי עובד כוכבים לצורך מילה. According to בעל הלכות גדולות, he said that if there is any need for ברית מילה, for something that you didn't do before, you can ask a non-Jew to do it for you. So therefore, it's not only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's also Brit Milah. שפרש דלית ומתוך בית הדרך רשות הרבים, לפי זה עדה כאמר נחים להגב, אם אינו כמתוך זין, ואמרה צריכה אני שמחללים עליה שבת. ונראה, זה לא ייתכן לומר דנחין על ידי ישראל, ועל ידי ישראל היה, אוקיי, we're not going to go to off it, and then take a look at the underline, ושמה דווקא לצורך המילה הוא דשארי. אבל צורך דבר אחר, אפילו על ידי כוכבים, אסור להרבות. They said, you know what, maybe I'll agree with you. Maybe one more mitzvah that you are allowed to violate Shabbat for via asking an non-Jew to do it for you, which will be only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Brit Milah. Now why? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael we understand, and also Brit Milah is because the Brit itself, what? Overrides Shabbat if it's on the eighth day. But anything else, you are not allowed to ask an non-Jew to do things for you. Okay. So, according to Tosfot, and we will see that it's next week we're going to see that it's not so
simple
at all. He wanted to claim that the exemptions that we have in the Gemara are not examples for many other things. They are just exemptions, which means you really are not allowed to ask an Anshu to do things for you that are helping you, quote unquote, to violate biblical things. The only thing that you are definitely allowed is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and only to ask the non-Jew to do it for you. And also, according to the Bahag, also Brit Milah. Things which relates to Brit Milah. All the others, you can do. So, in summary, or in conclusion, we saw 5 different reasons for why you can't tell a non-Jew to do things for you on Shabbat. We saw the nafkamina between the 2 main reasons. And then we saw that already, even though it says asur, 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 you have already 2, the one for sure, and perhaps another one that basically says what? That you might allow to ask an angel to do something for you that will, at the end of the day, will violate something from the Oraita.